Welcome to Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta.
What you're about to hear is a session from day 5 of Jaipur Lit Fest 2023, and it's called Lies Our Mothers Told Us, The Indian Woman's Burden. Nilanjana Bhaumvik in conversation with Kanta Singh. There
Kamagani, good morning and namaskar to everyone. I come from Rajasthan, so Kamagani is the norm of the day. And it's a proud privilege to be here this morning talking to Nilanjana, particularly because Nilanjana writes what is very close to what UN Women does. Also, personally, I was really inspired by the book, but right now I'm still having goosebumps from the video.
Yes.
Not because we produced it, but every time I watch this video, mujh pe mera hi haq hai. That means nobody has a right over me, my body, my voice, and my choices. I'm also very happy that there are some very young people here, boys and girls, who is a target audience. Because all of you senior people are converts already, that's why you are here. But having young people in the audience, what an amazing, amazing thing in the morning. It's cold. It's Jaipur, it's the last day, and yet you are here. It shows your commitment. Thank you so very much for being here this morning. UN Women is very honored to be part of the JLF. We have been part of it earlier also, but this time it's particularly important because we are at the midpoint of SDGs. We also want to reflect on what we have achieved in the last few years, where we are going, and what is it that gives us hope? And that's the first question, Nilanjana, I'm going to ask you. What do you think is the biggest challenge to gender equality? But what gives you hope even today?
You know, thank you all for being here. I'm just going to repeat what Kanta said. I wasn't expecting so many of you, so thank you. It's cold, last day. But I think, Kanta, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, gender equality, gender rights. I think in India, you know, I mean, I think the solution to advancing gender equality is has to be tailor-made for every country. And I think India is a particularly, you know, a complicated country in terms of gender rights, where the problem is multi-layered. So we have to, and you know, those layers are tied together with our normative behavior. So I feel that our biggest challenge is to open the doors to our homes and talk about what happens in our homes. Because unless and until we talk about, you know, what's wrong, why, you know, women have to be allowed the rights that they have been given by the government, the Indian Constitution, I don't think no amount of programs or progressive laws, we have enough of those, you know, we have very progressive laws, we have amazing programs, but, you know, unless and until the family becomes a one unit, you know, and accept that a woman, you know, like the film we were just seeing, totally goosebumps, you know, like, you know, we have rights to, you know, like, not only ourselves, you know, but also the rights that have been given to us by the Constitution, by the government of India. So I think that's the biggest challenge is to, you know, because, you know, we are a kind of a closed society. We like to keep our family matters, you know, as private, right? But nothing is private, the personal is political, and definitely in terms of gender equality, it is even more so. But yes, there is hope, as I also talk about in my book, that there is a hope, you know, there is a new generation of young men and women, and I'm so happy to see so many of them in the audience today. They think differently. Their parents think differently. Definitely their mothers think differently. And I feel that, you know, this, my son is 17 years old. So, you know, I think, you know, me and my friends, you know, we are bringing up our daughters and sons very differently, you know. We are not telling our daughters that, you know, this, you should not do this, but we are telling our sons, you know, to be more, we are talking about consent, we are talking about, you know, equality, we are teaching them, you know, and this you can see, you know, in this generation, you know, 16, 15, 16, 17, they are so much more aware of the inequalities. And I think, you know, I take immense hope from there. And also, you know, I see, especially after COVID-19, there's such a spotlight on gender as a whole, you know, the burden of caregiving, women's, you know, unpaid care labor, you know, what stops them from, you know, working, studying. And these are all, you know, like, you know, these all bring hope to me, because once we start talking, eventually we will start doing as well.
Thank you, Nilanjana. To me personally, I always look at it from a humorous point of view, and for the benefit of people who are actually not to the benefit of people who don't speak Hindi, I still always consider that women's story in India and across the globe is like a Hindi film story. Isme comedy bhi hai, tragedy bhi hai, jisme sab kuch hai, ye pot boiler hai actually. If you talk about what we have achieved in the last so many years, we have achieved a lot. If we think about where we are lagging behind, there's also a great story to tell there, because there's a lot to do. Lekin mujhe personally hope jo cheez deti hai, wo ye hai ki young log aaj yahan baithe hain. That means when I was 16 or 17 or was in a school, we didn't have exposure to go to such places, number one. That gives me hope. कि आज अगर इनमें से एक भी बच्चे को या एक भी स्टूडेंट को कुछ समझ में बात आती है, दैट पर्सन अ बॉय और अ गर्ल कुड बी अ ग्रेट चैंपियन ऑफ जेंडर इक्वालिटी. दैट्स नंबर वन. व्हेन आई सी अ यंग पर्सन, अ यंग 8 ईयर ओल्ड इन लद्दाख रीजन गोइंग 4 किलोमीटर्स टू अ स्कूल, इट रियली आई गिव्स मी गूज बम्स. कुछ तो ले जा रहा है उनको वहाँ स्कूलों तक. व्हेन अ मेड कम्स ऑन अ बाइसिकल टू वर्क इन योर हाउस, दैट गिव्स मी होप. When I see my mother telling me, jao jao, main dekh lungi piche se, that really gives me hope. That means there's a lot to celebrate that we have achieved. There's a lot that we have to work on. But good thing is there's an awareness, and we know that we are going to be together in this. I think world across the globe, I see there's a change happening. And I came from Davos. The first time I saw number of lounges talking about gender equality, it wasn't the case earlier. शुरू में बताते हैं, जब मैं नहीं थी वहाँ पे तो तीन महिलाएं आई थी पहले WEF प्रोग्राम में. अब की बार 30 वहाँ पे लाउंजेस थे जहाँ सिर्फ जेंडर इक्वालिटी की बात हो रही है. दैट गिव्स मी ग्रेट होप. सो आई थिंक वी आर हेडिंग फॉर अ बेटर टाइम. ऑन दैट नोट नीलांजना, एंड आई एम गिल्टी ऑफ डूइंग वट योर बुक सेज दैट द लाइज वी टोल्ड अवर डॉटर्स, एंड आई एम गिल्टी ऑफ दैट. कई बार अपने आप को बचाने के लिए, कई बार अपने बच्चों को प्रोटेक्ट करने के लिए, ऑल ऑफ अस हैव टोल्ड लाइज टू अवर चिल्ड्रन. पता नहीं लाइज कहेंगे या उनको कुछ प्रोटेक्शन कहेंगे, आई डोंट नो व्हाट यू कॉल इट, बट वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग टाइटल. एंड दैट एक्चुअली फोर्स्ड मी टू रीड योर बुक. व्हाट वाज द इंस्पिरेशन?
सो देयर इज अ क्विक स्टोरी बिहाइंड द टाइटल. व्हेन आई फर्स्ट रोट द बुक, आई कॉल्ड इट सुपर वुमेन इन साड़ीज. एंड so I was trying to tell the story of this immensely courageous women, you know, our mothers, our, you know, all our female relatives, friends, you know, I include, you know, myself in that. You know, you have to be extremely courageous to actually be able to, you know, hold on to your job or career, you know, and not being made to feel guilty about it at all points of time. So but then, you know, as I started writing the book, I suddenly realized one day I was writing the introduction and I wrote this, the last sentence, this is the lie my mother told me. And I was suddenly like, you know, this is not a story of superwomen, because that is how we guilt trip women into doing more than they should be doing. You know, oh, she is a superwoman, she can do everything, which means, you know, like you have to do everything. Once you have been called a superwoman, There is no looking back. Then, you know, you kill yourself, you know, but you have to do everything. You have to, you know, be a, you know, amazingly productive worker at work. You have to be an amazing, you know, super mother, you know, like baking and cooking from scratch. I am guilty of that myself. So all of that, you know, and that line, I think, you know, like, because by the time I had finished the book, and it felt like it was not so much a story of, and I also didn't want to, you know, sort of perpetuate this superwoman, you know, this term. Because that term in itself is very patriarchal, because, you know, it imposes impossible burdens on women. So then, you know, I thought, you know, that, and then I started thinking about, you know, all the things that my mother told me, that, you know, study, you know, do not, you know, get distracted, because if you study, if you get a job, your life is going to be different than mine. It's not, though. I mean, you know, I mean, she has a different life, I have a different life, but our struggles are still the same, you know. I mean, I am coming to Jaipur Lit Fest, I have to think of, you know, how many days exactly can I leave my son alone? Sure. You know, his board exams are going on. So these are the natural thoughts that come to me. It will not come to my husband. You know, he's also a journalist, he's also a writer. But he knows I'm there. You know, I am the backup. But, you know, for me, not that he's not the backup. He, you know, comes down to allow me to travel. But that thought doesn't strike me till late. My first instinct is, I must do it all. I have to do it all. So I think, you know, that at that point of time, after 100,000 words have been written, I realized that superwomen in saris would be a lie.
Absolutely fantastic. In fact, mujhe lag raha tha ki jo jis lies ki the lies I was talking about were about that. I never told my daughters that I can't do this. Beta ho jayega. I will handle it. I can take care of it. Sometimes I was breaking inside, and because I was almost a single mother. My husband is an army officer, and they are, you know, they are everywhere. When you need them the most, they are not there with you. And many times you really feel like crying that I can't handle it, yet you have to continue acting strong all the time. And that is the burden we carry with us, not that somebody else is expecting us. We can take a break and say, nahi ho raha mujhse. But we do take this burden on ourselves.
But, you know, I think, for a majority of women in our country, see, this is, and I keep saying this, that, you know, when we say that nobody is asking us to take this burden, we take it on ourselves, we are talking from a very privileged point of view.
That's true.
Because, you know, we have that choice. But a majority of women in this country do not have that choice.
I agree.
It is, you know, they cannot say no. They cannot say that, no, I'm not going to leave my job and follow my husband around the country.
Yes.
They cannot say that, no, you know, I mean, there's a reference in my book, you know, and I was very influenced by that visual, you know, right in the beginning, you know, like of my career. I was in Bombay for a while, and I used to take the local train, and when I would be coming back, there would be all these women, you know, like sitting there chopping vegetables and, you know, kneading dough, because, you know, these are, well, all middle class, you know, like women, you know, and they just didn't have the option to hire, you know, like help, and they were basically, you know, trying to, you know, get a, you know, get going with, you know, the cooking and everything. And, you know, I kept thinking, because my mom used to also travel by, you know, train. She was a cop. And I used to think that I knew my mom won't do that. And that's where, you know, the privilege comes in. So I think, you know, we can say no to a lot of things, but we don't do it because we have internalized that, you know, to have it all, we must do it all. So, but it's not a choice for a majority of women in this country.
I completely agree with you. And even in my case, there was no choice. I had to take care of everything. There's a very interesting chapter in your book that starts from early childhood when all of us are growing up. I remember when I was 8 years old, my mom would tell my brothers ki itni jameen hai ghar mein aur itne hisse aa jayegi charon bhaiyon ke. And as a young child, you don't understand where will you go, where do you belong. And your fifth chapter talks about son preference. Of course, as a young person, you don't understand that your parents preferred a boy or a girl, but you feel somehow left out of that. This girl in your book, or a woman in your book, is 46 years old now, and she's still thinking of that time when her father used to forget picking her up from school. Was there any personal reference to that, or where does it come from?
So, you know, I feel that the son preference in our country works in very many ways. A, obviously, there is the, you know, direct example, as you have shared with us. And I think, you know, it's so important that we share our experiences, because, you know, we cannot lecture women, you know, to come out, speak, stand up, you know, and not share our own experiences. Because I can, you know, I probably wouldn't be, you know, exaggerating if I say that some of the experiences that I recount in my book, you know, is shared by women across the country. So what happened with me was that I remember when we used to go out with my father, so me and my sister, so we would be meeting someone, and I remember once, you know, I was very young, I was like 3 or 4 years, or maybe 5 years old, and this guy, you know, we bumped into this guy, my father's friend, and he was like, oh, you have two daughters. And like, you know, I was very young, but I still felt that, you know, he was so disappointed that my father had two daughters. And then my father's response to that was the best he could do at that point of time. He said, yes, but they're more than my sons. See, you see, this thing a lot of Indian parents say, right? You are my son, you know? I am not your son, you know, I am your daughter, right? But at that point of time, I can understand, but it still happens even now. You know, like, you know, if a girl is doing, you know, like, a, you know, she's working, or, you know, she's taking care of the parents will always say that this is my son, right? And that has a very debilitating effect, you know, it's on women's mental health. I haven't been able to forget that. You haven't been able to forget that experience, right? And we have come a long way. Right? Society has changed, you know, but I still remember the day, like, you know, it's like stamped in my memory. And I'm sure it's the same thing with you.
Oh my God, very interesting. When I had two daughters, and I come from Rajasthan, so in rural part of Rajasthan, we used to live outside. When I came home and came to the village women will come and say, bye-bye hai, bhaiyo ko nahi. Means you have only daughters, don't have son. Eh, bhaiyo to kar lo bhai ek. So I said, no, two brothers are my two. So I said, no, brothers are my brothers. So I still remember that they also made you feel insufficient without knowing. I'm not blaming them. Because they're also conditioned to think that women will not be respected unless they bear sons. So I'm not blaming them. Unko yahi bataya gaya hai ki ladka hona bahut zaruri hai. But मैंने बहुत पर्सनली बहुत काम किया. हमारी दोस्त हैं यहाँ पे मीता, डॉक्टर मीता सिंह, उनके साथ मिलके हमने राजस्थान में बहुत सन प्रेफरेंस पे काम किया है. आई फील दैट मदर्स पर्टिकुलरली आर मेड टू थिंक दैट दे आर रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर हैविंग सन्स.
Patriarchy works through women, yeah. Because that's the easiest way, you know, because when women do not have agency, they do not have a voice, it's very easy to, you know, perpetuate patriarchy through them.
Absolutely. I also think of a time when, and these values are only in a particular class, that is the middle class. And I remember one speech that Mahashweta Deviji probably talked about in her keynote speech in JLF earlier times about middle class, which is so repressive. Do you, and you also have written a chapter on middle class. What do you think are the specific values of middle class? And where do women fit into that middle class?
So, you know, the chapter, which is called Middle Class Morality and the Goddess Syndrome, that was influenced by Mahashweta Devi's speech in JLF. She was also my grandmother-in-law. So I have had the, you know, good fortune of spending, you know, a lot of time with her. And she was not someone who would lecture you on feminism, but her every act was so feminist. And that's the same thing, you know, with my my mother-in-law also, Pranati Bhattacharya. She was a professor, you know, political science professor, and my Mahashweta Devi and her were best of friends. And their friendship in itself was such a sisterhood that, you know, sometimes, so I actually, you know, came from a very different background. You know, I came from a very traditional background. My father was a very loving father, but, you know, he was a very cruel husband. So he tried to, you know, because my mother worked, you know, she was a cop, and in those days, you know, it was rare. And so he tried to, you know, own her, you know, not just physically, but also, you know, her mind, because he was very scared of her mind, because my mother was like a secret feminist warrior, you know, like. So, but you know, when I got to spend time with, you know, Mahashweta Devi, we called her Bui, this thing became very simple for me, you know. And she always said, and she said it at the JLF address also, she said that I hate middle class morality. You know, it is so repressive, you know, we put everything under the carpet. You know, I mean, and you see it all around you, right? You know, our daughter is in an abusive marriage. Her parents' first reaction would be, beta, ghar ki baat bahar kyun karna hai? You know, wo, you know, just compromise, adjust. Theek ho jayega, have a couple of more kids, you'll be fine, right? So she was, you know, she hated it. And the goddess syndrome is actually something that she used to always say, because, you know, Mahashweta Devi, right? So Devi means goddess.
Yeah.
And people actually treated her like a goddess, you know? Like, I have seen people come and, like, literally just, you know, just genuflect before her. And she hated that. You know, I remember a conversation with her once, you know, and she said that, you know, I'm a human being, you know? They just don't let me be a human being, you know? I'm a very normal, you know, woman, you know, I have, you know, my wants, I make my mistakes, I learn from them.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they put this tag on you, Devi, goddess, you are not allowed any mistakes at all. Not a single mistake. You cannot have a personal life. You cannot, you know, deviate from whatever is socially acceptable. And then, you know, like, when you, you know, sort of, you know, like, relate that to lives around you, lives of women around you, you see that that is happening all the time, right?
Completely agree with you. When I got married and I came from a hostel, so, and I used to study with boys, and my husband would say, don't talk to men, don't talk to army officers. And I used to say, hey, that's who I am, and that you deal with it. Thoda difficulty hua mujhe adjust karne mein, I'll be very honest, because wo ek share nahi hai ki unhein ye zid ki mujhe dekh ke kisi ko na dekh, mera ye shock ki sabko salam karti chalu. So mujhe lagta tha ki sabhi friends hain, there's no difference. Wo kehte the main pyar karta hu isliye karta hu. अब मैं कहती थोड़ा कम प्यार करो, इतना प्यार मत करो कि मेरा दम घुट जाए, राइट? एंड दैट इज द प्रॉब्लम विद मैन. ही आई मीन, कोई ऐसा अब्यूज नहीं थी, मुझे समझ में नहीं आता था कि ऐसे क्यों किसी और से बात क्यों नहीं कर सकते हैं. सो इट्स ऑलवेज अ डिफिकल्ट स्टेप फॉर वुमेन, पर्टिकुलरली टू फील व्हाट टू स्पीक, हु टू टॉक टू, हु नॉट टू टॉक टू. बट योर बुक ऑल्सो focuses heavily on women of a particular age. And I have many, many examples of women who I know who came to their own being in middle age. What were you trying to bring in here in the book on middle age?
So my book is heavily focused on middle-aged women. Well, I am middle-aged. Who else am I going to talk about? So that, and actually, you know, the genesis of the idea for this book was an opinion piece I had written for Washington Post, where, you know, I was basically discussing, you know, that the feminism movement, you know, has left a lot of women behind. So which are the women, you know, who have been left behind? You know, it's the middle class women, because, you know, there's a lot of great work is happening on the grassroots. But now, middle class women, the middle class women, you know, like middle class by itself, you know, is kind of average, you know. We have average qualifications. We are just about, you know, we have just the right amount of wealth. So everything is very so-so, you know. And so, you know, in, you know, middle class families, you know, do educate their daughters. So nobody is really, you know, and middle class, and this I'm talking from my own experience, you know, of growing up in a middle class family. I was so grateful for the, you know, opportunity to study, to go abroad, you know, to work, to marry, you know, like someone of my own choice, that I always felt like I need to give back something. And, you know, the hold of patriarchy is so strong. You don't think of it as patriarchy, you think of it as love. Like you said, right? Thoda kam pyar karo. So main bhi apne papa se bolti thoda kam pyar karo. Kyunki I went abroad, and I remember our course director took us for a drink, you know, like a, you know, night out. And everybody was ordering drinks. And I'm like, drinking? So I went out, I made an excuse, I went out and I called my father and I said that they're all having drinks. What should I tell them? So then my father goes, do they have brandy? I said, yes. And he's like, oh, brandy is not alcohol, you can have it. So for the longest time, I only drank brandy because my father had said that it's not alcohol. You know, he has allowed me to drink, you know. Same. So I feel that, you know, that is a typical problem with middle class families is that fathers, you know, are loving fathers. They will let their, you know, girls, daughters fly, but they will keep their wives in cages.
You ask me.
It doesn't work. You know, I see so many young girls, you know, especially on social media. They're talking about, you know, extricating their mothers from abusive marriages.
Yes.
It is not supposed to be like that. The mothers are supposed to extricate themselves. But, you know, like they feel that hum bachcho ko bahar kar dete. Let us, you know, liberate our daughters. Hamara to ho gaya. We will, you know, like manage. My mother says that, you know, my mom says, like when I say that, why do you put up with this, you know? My father is now bedridden, you know. This is like I'm talking about a few years back. But now, even when he's bedridden, you know, he still has this hold over her. Like, you know, he will want her to do everything. I mean, it's not, you know, like she's in her 70s, he's in his 80s. You know, why should a 75-year-old woman, you know, do, you know, full-time caregiving? So, I think, you know, like, so in middle-class families, we do this with our daughters, you know. We say, dekho, beta, hum tumhe kitna kuch de rahe. You know, see, you know, we have given you the permission to study. You know, we are even, you know, getting arranged love marriages done for you. We are arranging, you are loving, and then you are getting married. And then you are falling into the same, you know, route that, you know, we were there also. So that, you know, I think it's a very middle class problem. Maybe, you know, a whole of India problem. And that is something, you know, where I keep coming back to normative changes, you know. Like, you are not, you know, you don't have to allow women anything. Like, say, for example, property rights, right? Guaranteed by the Indian Constitution.
My favorite.
Yeah, guaranteed by the Indian government, right? How many women, you know, will actually take on their families, you know, to get a share in their properties? I know someone, you know, I knew someone, you know, who was like extremely, you know, like rich. So what he did was that he had four daughters and four sons. So in order that his ancestral property doesn't pass on to the daughters, because by that time the law had already come and they were very a very progressive family, so they didn't really want to, you know, like not give anything to the daughters. So what they did was that they bought separate flats for the daughters, gave it to them, and the ancestral property, which was probably worth millions, you know, went to the sons. But, you know, they made sure that the daughters didn't have rights to that ancestral property. They got them different, you know, like set of properties.
आपने बहुत अच्छी बात कही. Property rights are my favorite topic, and I've seen in many, many events where I spoke about property rights, men start leaving after some time when I say I claimed my property rights. Seriously, I'm not joking. Men think that I am a bad influence on other women because कि ये बिगाड़ रही है property की बात, particularly ancestral property, and we were talking about middle age, Nilanjana, and I think it, in the middle age, women come to realize that they don't have anything in their name. And cycle se leke, ghar se leke, sab kuch husband ke naam pe hai. Till the time, he either has black money or he's buying a second house.
No, but you know, that
seriously, I'm not joking.
When men share their, so for the longest time, you know, I was very proud of my father because he, you know, whatever property he bought, he would buy it in my mom's name. I was like, wow, you know. I mean, and then I realized ki wo registration mein wo milti hai, chhoot milti hai.
Wo bahut der pehle ki baat nahi, wo 10 saal pehle ki baat hai.
Haan, but my mom was clever that way. She made sure that the property stayed in her name.
Yeah, that's smart. I didn't. It came much later. But I'm saying, jab bhi baat karo na, jo mera hai, wo tera hi to hai. And I'm saying, tera mera agar ek hi hai, toh mere ko de do na fir. Why are you even concerned?
No, Kanta, it's not jo tera hai, wo mera hai. Jo tera hai, wo mera hai. Jo mera hai, wo mera hai.
So, the young women who are sitting here, I just want to kind of reinforce this idea that's very important to claim your property rights. Dahej ko chhod dijiye. Dahej nahi chahiye. हमको बराबर का अधिकार दीजिए.
Exactly. And know your rights. You know, I think, you know, that is so important that in schools, you know, I keep, you know, harping on this, that schools must, you know, teach, you know, girls their rights, you know, what are the rights, you know, that is given to them by the constitution, by the government of India. They shouldn't have to fight for their rights, you know, these are their rights. And the other thing, you know, like very quickly, Kanta, I just want to say, you know, because you asked about, you know, why I was so focused on middle-aged. But it is also because, you know, at a certain point, you know, when I started, you know, writing this book, the first, the genesis was that opinion article, and then, of course, I digressed. And there, you know, when I started researching that article, I found that there was a very, like, huge number of women, you know, were committing suicide in our country every year. And I was so surprised because I went back, you know, to all the reports. And since 1990s, you know, the rates have been increasing by like 5,000, 6,000, 10,000. And so much so that I think sometime in 1997, the NCRB started categorizing them as housewife suicides.
Yeah.
Now, the point is that this is such a huge... So, whenever I bring this up in sessions, many men tell me, but, you know, men, you know, commit suicide, you know, like more than women, which is right. But, you know, a very unusual thing about these suicides in India, that the NCRB, you know, the National Crime Reports Bureau, had pointed out was that the women's suicides were absolutely because of emotional reasons. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the men, you know, like committing suicide was always about jobs or, you know,
money,
property dispute or something like that. But with women, you know, it was very unusual. It was absolutely marital and emotional. So that, you know, like, that is one point, you know, that, you know, this my book, you know, is, it follows a woman's life cycle, you know, right from the time you're born, you know, right from the time, you know, you realize your parents would have rather you were a boy, you know, or, you know, when you go to school, when you are married, you know, like, this entire thing, you know, like, continues. So when we start, you know, like, reforming from the top, then it is not really percolating to the... down to the homes. That is why I say that, you know, we need to open the doors to our homes. And the other, the second thing I wanted to mention is that this suicides, you know, this housewife suicides, now this category itself is very vague. Because, you know, in India, almost, I think over 80% of women work in the informal sector, right? And they will self-identify as housewife. A lot of women farmers self-identify as housewives because, you know, before the farmers' protest happened, nobody, you know, like, even, you know, like, thought of, you know, agricultural labor was part of housework. So, you know, like, these are actually, you know, there is need for data aggregation because these are working women. Just because, you know, they are working informally, they are not part of the formal labor force. We do not know what kind of burden they are carrying.
Absolutely, and that's why UN Women is trying to focus more on the formal employment because women get into the safety net.
Yeah.
90% of the workers in India are working in the unorganized sector, and which is also a cause of worry because there's no rule that is applicable to them in terms of minimum wages, sexual harassment at workplace, and we are working towards making more girls employable. At least it's their choice whether they want to work in formal, informal, or an organized sector. That's their choice ultimately, but we are at least trying to prepare girls for formal employment, primarily for safety net.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please follow or subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to this to be notified about new episodes.